Good day, good day, good life, good world to you all. I hope your immune system is in better shape than mine, but that ain't going to stop the work, man. You know what I'm saying? You should already know what it is. It's in its total entirety. It is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So that means it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
And I'm JR Bang along with Liam Bang, who decided to stop by real quick. But make sure you rate, like, subscribe, wherever you get your favorite podcast at. Make sure you go ahead and get the merch. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, FBC_POD, FBC.POD on Instagram. Not really a lot to talk about other than what we've already been talking about. I mean, the Triple H era is in full effect, and we have another entrant in the return, in the return cages, or whatever you want to, the return matches, the return people, whatever you want to call it. We got the return of Hit Row, the original three, as they put it, of Top
OG
Dollar.
Three.
Yeah, the OG three, Ashanti, was that Ashanti Adonis? B Fab and Top Dollar. A lot of people were anticipating possibly if this would be a group that would come back. But with Swerve in NXT, but with Swerve in AEW, with Swerve being in AEW as a tag team champion, you know, a lot of people was wondering, you know, how that would work. Would you even bring back the group? Swerve really was, at least from a wrestler standpoint, the biggest known name out of Hit Row. Rumors started that, you know, that we would see at least Top Dollar on SmackDown, and then the Hit Row music came on and you saw all three. So what was your thoughts on the return of Hit Row?
Man, my first thought was, Triple H listened to the first Black Champ podcast, man, and I don't care what nobody say. Now, I don't know. Now, I haven't been on social media since July, but I wonder, man, you can answer this question for me maybe. Was anybody else talking about Hit Row returning to SmackDown after it was established that Triple H would be taking over creative?
Yes, they were one of the groups. Okay. They were one of the people that when the word got out that Triple H was running the ship, that it was possibly, they would possibly be somebody that would come back. See, even when we talked about it, I think it was last week, Noah's duly noted that Triple H loved Hit Row to the point where he was like, look, I don't know how to do what y'all do. So do what y'all do. And we go from there. And essentially, he brought them up eventually to the main roster, but Vince got a hold to him. And what we're starting to see is that it and really will be interesting as we see more returns or people get called up. More the returns, though, whereas Triple H saw people as one thing, Vince saw them as the other, as another. So that's why. And again, we're not talking name changes. Because anytime we talk name changes, y'all bring up Gunther and Walter's just as bad as a Nazi name. We went over in the past episodes.
And plus, that's working. That's working. I think the thing that we're realizing here is that it's not that what Vince had in place didn't work. It just don't totally work for this whole new era, this new generation of professional wrestler.
I'm going to go with what you said, what you've continued to say, where it's up to you to take control of the gimmick given to you. I think that, and I'm not going to say people didn't try. I'm going to actually go the opposite. It worked so well in NXT. Why would you change it?
There you go.
And it was us, the fans, that was like, yo, why would you put Karrion Kross in a gladiator fit when he was not that? Why would you change from Keith Lee to Bearcat Lee when he comes back?
Yeah.
Why would you try to dumb down what we knew from Hit Row, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ciampa, you know, he was like a stalker. It was almost like the DDP character. But then also, but people not really or not caring, one or the other, not really knowing but not really caring about the history Vince McMahon has with even taking characters that's on the main roster and switching them. And sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. It's funny that we bring this up because I had went to Instagram and I did not know that the Brutus the Barber Beefcake was like a different character for like a day.
No, for real?
Yeah, like, let me see if I can pull up.
He was Brutus the Butcher
Beefcake. So wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. It was Brutus the Barber Beefcake in like a mask.
Mm.
And like you couldn't see his face. And he attacked Earthquake.
Really?
And he ran off Jimmy Hart. There it is. Matter of fact, I'm about to pull it up.
Wow.
I'm about to pull it up for you. Because I did not see this until literally 2 minutes before we started the podcast. And I was like, wait a minute. What? This does not make sense. Hold on for a second. As you see on the screen right here, that is Brutus the Barber Beefcake
in
1991 with a mask on with a star. Looks like the Starman from pro wrestling on his mask. And it looks like a grate on his chest.
Oh, I was like, is that a satchel? I got to.
It's like a grate on his chest. And apparently, he made several appearances on TV in 1991.
Wow.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, not at all.
So
me neither.
Maybe I was outside playing football while this is going on. Now, mind you, this is Brutus the Barber Beefcake, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm.
This is the man who came in as Brutus Beefcake in the Dream Team. Then was Brutus the Barber Beefcake, given the barber gimmick. And then he's attacking Jimmy Hart people in a star mask and a grate on his chest.
Yo, Starman is a legend, man. Yes, pro wrestling Starman is a legend. They need to add him to the WWE Hall of Fame. Oh, God. I'm just saying.
At least a playable character on WWE 2K.
Word. I promise.
Yeah, matter. Yeah. We digressed into some shit that's like, hey, put Starman in WWE 2K.
Hell yeah.
Like 23.
My guy.
So yeah, it's like Vince McMahon is known for like switching shit on the fly. And I think this generation of fans is like, nah, man, he was that in NXT. Bring him that up here.
Mm.
And Hit Row didn't last. Like, that was like 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And they were gone.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, they barely got 2.5 weeks out of that. And the half week was the social media backlash and explanation.
Right. And for people that don't know, the WWE Hidden Treasures show that was on A&E, Top Dollar, AJ Francis was the host of the show. He's a former NFL player, played for the Seahawks and the then Washington Redskins, now Commandos. He's from the DMV area. He's on TV on a WWE program. You think that even though he's in developmental and not even, and at this time, not even on TV, they must think very highly of Buddy. But I'm going to read this statement from Top Dollar on Busted Open Radio. When he talked about, you know, getting called up and released, he said, even when Hunter was not in NXT, even when we went up to SmackDown, even when we got released, I never stopped talking to Hunter. We had already talked a lot and hopefully working together in the future. I sent them clips of stuff we were doing. I sent them clips of GCW, ACW in Trinidad, and clips of me and Ashanti Adonis working together as a tag team, nice, letting them know that the band was still together. Swerve being added to Hit Row was a Hunter call. Mm. Hunter added Swerve to Hit Row because he had already saw what we were doing for a year and was like, this is a good opportunity to debut a faction instead of a tag team with a manager. It was cool. It was a good idea. It clearly worked. But Hunter saw it when it was just the three of us. Mm. He knew what we were capable of from the jump. He continues to say when he got the reins and was like, I want to bring my guys back, we was one of his top priorities to get back because he knew what we could bring to the table. About a week and a half ago, he hit me up and was like, how's the rest of the guys? We're good. None of us wasted time this whole time. We never stopped training. We never stopped being ready. He was like, how fast can I act to get you guys up here? Mm. This was Wednesday of last week.
Wow.
If you really want us, we could be there tomorrow. Ended up having a Zoom call with him, the three of us, planned out what would happen the next couple of days. This week, we got our physicals and our contracts. Now.
Wow.
That shows you. Damn, man. Right there, what Triple H sees in them guys, yeah. But also how Triple H is acting when it comes to getting people that he wants back.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know what, man? If we can just stop down the sidebar just real quick, man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Triple H, man. You know, with the attitude moving into the Ruthless Aggression era, right? We always heard so many unfavorable stories about how Triple H just didn't believe in like certain people. And, you know, two of them happened to be Chris Jericho and Edge, right?
Right.
You know, I thought it was just his beef with Canada, whatever, right? I'm like, hey, man, he just don't think Canadians can be international superstars. I don't know. but you know, there was the stigma that Triple H carries the shovel, and the shovel is used because he's, you know, Vince McMahon's son-in-law, and he's married to Stephanie, and he just wants to be the biggest star in the company, and all these other things that always got said about him. And I'll say that what it's appearing to be right now, where we sit, August 14th, 2022, where it seems to be right now is that not only has Triple H learned from his past mistakes under the act of I don't get it, but he's also moving forward with like, I'm willing to change with time. You know, I think a lot of times, especially when we talk about some of the OG great minds of wrestling, whether it's a Jim Ross, a Bruce Pritchard, a Jim Cornette, or Vince McMahon even, you know, a lot of these guys, because they've seen it all before, they think, well, you're not doing what already worked, so nah. Versus, okay, maybe this will work, and these people over here seem to love that. Let me at least try it on the bigger platform to see if it really go. Mm-hmm. And we should really be saluting Triple H for that, because for him to see teams like, you know, a Street Profits or a Hit Row and not saying, well, you know, I was thinking you guys could be more like the Legion of Doom or saying, you know, like, you know, the Rockers, you know, you'll be the Rappers, but we'll do it like this. It's like, no, it's like, let you tailor it. You've obviously got something here. I don't get it, but I'm willing to accept the fact that, hey, maybe new wrestling fans might mess with this. And because we don't see that often anywhere. So I just want to say, like, man, that's pretty big, especially when you think about the bad connotations that Triple H had at the turn of this millennium.
Yeah. I mean, growth, health issues.
Yeah.
A lot of those things can definitely change who you are and your thought process and your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And even Triple H, I saw a video where he explained, like, look, when you don't know you're going to make it and you do, there's a lot of things that change your perspective. So it's definitely probably a lot of things that change perspective. And then a part of that change perspective is, you know, just from a wrestling standpoint, is the tag team division.
Yeah.
All right. Were we keen on bringing in another tag team or just a tag team in general?
Yeah.
During the Vince era, Vince, you know, they have said Vince is not really a fan of tag teams.
Obviously.
You know, he's not really a fan of tag team wrestling. But then you now get Hit Row, mm-hmm. With B-Fab as the manager,
mm-hmm.
on SmackDown. You got the Street Profits as long as they're around. You got the Usos. You got the New Day. You got the Viking Raiders. You have Garza and Humberto.
Yo.
You have the Maximum Male Models.
Yeah.
You have Alpha Academy. And I know I'm probably missing like one or two more.
Yeah. I can't think of them off top, but
yeah, but
those are the ones that matter right now, though.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real. Oh, I mean, obviously Dakota and EO, because they about to win the tag.
Talking about from a male's perspective.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah. The women's, they got the tag team tournament that's been released. And I know that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but just even bringing back the women's tag team championship and mm-hmm. now seeing the list of tag teams and seeing what the men's have, like, is I'm very interested to see how this goes.
Yeah,
but Triple H is clearly looking out for the people that that he feel that are talented enough in his era. Yeah. And it was all, and you know what? Shouts out to Top Dollar, Ashanti Adonis, and B-Fab for staying ready.
Yeah,
because
man.
Because they could have got released and basically just been like, you know, it's whatever. I saw that Top Dollar had won a couple of championships in the indies, and he was doing mm-hmm. promos, and I've seen him do promos for other podcasts and all of those things.
Nice.
So Top Dollar was definitely like, I'm not here,
right?
But I'm still out here moving.
Right.
And when the time is called, I'll be ready for whoever. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens to be the big homie who called them. Same yeah. as Karrion Kross, and same as others who's probably going to be there and are rumored to mm-hmm. be on their way as well.
And not for nothing, man. And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I actually like the OG3 Hit Row model. Like, it felt more cohesive. It felt more natural, where, like, I know with the original four, you were always a person that pointed out to all of us, you know, here on the First Black Champ podcast, that, you know, Asante didn't seem like he mattered with the four of them, with Swerve being added to it. And it's not that I'm saying that I don't think Swerve would be a good fit in Hit Row. Like, I wouldn't want to see him on SmackDown, because I would, to give him his real shot, you know what I'm saying, at the main roster in the WWE. But you can't deny what's already working, and that's what's been working like this. It's almost, I mean, sidebar, just funny story. It would be like us adding a third person that we just cool with to this show. It's like, sure, it would work, but this is the foundation. This is like, we're 5 years in at doing this right. this way. And it's not that it wouldn't be a bonus or a plus, to add another person or two people. But what's constructed is what's already working. This is the money right here. And I think that's what we've seen with OG3 Hit Row. I thought their debut was great, even though I want them to beat somebody real on SmackDown. Like, just give them a real match. I don't care who, like, put two motherfuckers together. That's just back there. I would be more inclined to see that. But, Hit Row works, man. Hit Row works with three or the four, but I think they'll be just fine with the three, though.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, first it was shouts out to all of the black people when Hit Row came out there. And it was like, oh, it's lit. We back. Like, you saw it was a black dude that was dancing. Like, he was lit on there, yeah, and everything. Right.
Black target demo pop.
Oh, yes. Black people 18 to 34 were very happy with the inclusion of Hit Row. Yeah. But you know what? To your point, and I'll even go back old school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Demolition was cool with Crush as the third man.
It was.
But it's Action Smash.
Man, forever.
It's Hit Row. And that's basically what Top Dollar telling you. Like, we was cool, and we saw y'all on the internet talking about Carmelo Hayes should be the leader of Hit Row, to come in as the leader of the Hit Row. And I said on the pod, man, I hope they don't do nothing like that just because.
Right, yeah. Because he's black and he cool. Like, it's
right.
we all the cool black wrestlers don't need to be together.
Right. Right. And history serves us that this is something that would happen, hence Swerve Hit Row. But Top Dollar's basically telling you in an old school reference, Demolition was cool when they brought in Crush to help out because Smash, Axe was older.
Yeah, his back was jacked up.
Jacked up, but the OG Demolition is the OG 2.
Yeah.
If you want to get technical, it's the OG 3 with Mr. Fuji.
Fuji, I think. Yeah, man.
We are the OG 3 of Hit Row. And we're going to be successful. And I think they have the talent and I think they have the vocals. They have the promos to be successful on their end. Yeah. I really want to see Ashanti Adonis now. Yeah. I really want to see him excel in this situation. I think this is a great time for him to take off, whereas Swerve basically pushed them to the back.
Yeah. Hey, his standing drop kick is incredible, like Jim Brunzel, Mr. Perfect level standing drop kick. I seen on that finisher that he did on SmackDown. So yeah, it was cool to see them, man. I again, let them beat some real people so they can be my favorite tag team. That's all I'm saying.
And I think that's probably gonna happen soon enough because I think Triple H is gonna start leveling things out.
Nice.
Speaking of tag teams, might as well go ahead and get into it. The women's tag team championship tournament has been announced.
Yeah.
Interesting matchups here. And when it comes to the women's tag team, we were off a little bit. Ross was off a little bit. But Tamina and Dana Brooke are going to be a tag team. They're going to be facing Io Sky and Dakota Kai. No, that hasn't happened yet. Excuse me. Starts this week. Alexa Bliss and Asuka versus Nikki Ash and Doudrop. Natalia and Sonya Deville versus. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I don't know. That was my Alexa. Because I said Alexa Bliss and Alexa came on.
Yep, that's what happened to me a couple times.
That's right. But the interesting tag team of Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark instead of Toxic Attraction.
Yeah, man.
I'll get to that in a second. But Natalia and Sonya Deville will wrestle the NXT tag team. And then we have Xia Li and Shotzi versus, they wrestled. That was the match that happened. Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah versus Xia Li and Shotzi. Yeah. And Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah are moving on to the semifinals. Your thoughts of the teams?
Well, the very first thing I want to point out is that all of these teams never faced the last women's tag team champions in Sasha Banks and Naomi. None of them. Not one of them. So, and that was the gripe. That was the issue. They never faced none of these women. They faced them in six-pack challenges, fatal four ways, singles matches, the Royal Rumble, but they never defended their title against any of these ladies, any of the current combinations that you're looking at right now. And that was the gripe. So I still stand with Sasha and Naomi. Michael Cole should apologize. I know he was ride or die for the company, but that wasn't right. However, moving forward to your direct question, this to me, when I saw the entire bracket, I see Io and Dakota versus Nikita and I'm sorry, what's homegirl named Zoe?
Zoe Stark.
How do I forget the name Zoe? But you had to be there, folks. You just had to be there. How the fuck I forget the name Zoe? I'm bogus. But yeah, I look at this.
Go ahead.
I look at this as the ushering in of just, again, more new women's talent that either should be or should have been on the main roster for the for the WWE. However, I won't front. I do see a plot twist that is my guarantee for this tournament. I don't know if we should get into it now. I'll let you go and do your thing, but I'm looking at this, and yeah, man, all I see is Io Shirai, aka now Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Sky and Kai, versus Nikita and Zoe, especially after the promo and the extra attention that they're giving the NXT ladies. This is their tournament to win and or lose until we get to what the final, I believe, will be.
That's bullshit. I say what you said is bullshit. This is bullshit.
No, I feel you.
Why it's bullshit, right? It's top, is right, is left side heavy.
Yeah.
It is left side heavy. Right. We know the semifinals is going to be Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Mm-hmm. Why is this not the final? I don't get. Now, I know.
Well, I do. I can help you with that. Go ahead.
Now, so, well, I'll let you get to that in a second. I do see the red herring that Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark will defeat Natalya and Sonya Deville. So they're going to have basically two young tag teams. Because Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah versus Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark would be a breath of fresh air, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But here's a guarantee hope. Mm. I have two when it comes to this. Guarantee hope number one, Toxic Attraction takes out Nikki Lyons and Zoe Stark. Mm. And then they are entered. They're the NXT replacement for the tournament. Because they have to explain how the former NXT tag team champions and are not in the tournament, and two that never tagged up are in there.
Mm.
See, that's the missing thing here. Okay. Nikita and Zoe are not a tag team. They put them together. Zoe Stark is the number one contender. So I could see from a TV thing, put her on SmackDown and put her on Raw to along with Nikita Lyons now. And I'll get to Nikita in a second. But Zoe Stark is the number one contender for Mandy Rose's title.
Mm-hmm.
This is also one of the reasons why I see that tag team not making it, because Toxic Attraction takes out Zoe Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't compete, but it enhances the whole Mandy Rose versus Zoe Stark joint,
mm-hmm,
because Toxic Attraction takes their place. Mm-hmm. Now, Nikita Lyons, she's over. I've said this before. She's not the body type that we normally see in the WWE,
mm-hmm,
but she's the body type that we love.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Or not.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's interesting how, in a lot of ways, Nikita Lyons is natural Dana Brooke, but now Dana Brooke has lost like 60 pounds and took the lip injections out. But I do think she looks better. Yes, like this. Does. She needs a more natural look. I mean, she's from Ohio. We already know what Ohio girls is built like. Let's just there keep it real.
So,
you know, but to answer your question, the way these teams look is because our teams are out of order. Like, I wish more story could be developed, because really, even as I'm looking at it, like, for instance, in the first match, Raquel and Aaliyah versus Zia Lee and Shotzi, the team should have been Raquel and Shotzi, and they should be a heel tag team.
Yep.
And they would have been my pick to get to the next round. against either one of, like, you know, I mean, obviously Natty and Sonya. Natty is the A1, day one, high standard enhancement talent, get you over. So, yeah, Nikita and Zoe are going to win. Whoever they're facing is going to win unless what you're saying happens, but then that still helps out Raquel and Aaliyah get them over. But again, I still feel that team should be Raquel and Shotzi anyway. They already promoed Alexa and Asuka versus Io and Dakota last week before either match took place. So I was like, well, yeah, Io Sky and Dakota Kai is going to win. Cool. Like, and they did, of course. Nobody picked Tamina and Dana together. No, Dana should be, in all due respect, Dana should have been teaming with Alexa. I mean, if you want to make it make sense. We already said Tamina should be with Naomi. So there's that. So I totally get it. Nikki and Doudrop, yeah. Nah, Asuka going to beat both of them by herself, basically. And if it wasn't for the fact that she's trying to be a face, I would love to see Alexa Bliss join Io, Bayley, and Dakota.
Man, which leads me to what... Okay. I told y'all last week, my sources said that Sasha Banks is not coming back. That's what my sources told me. They said that they got that information from reliable sources. I'm going to push back on said sources.
But...
And here's why. This whole right side of the bracket is so light. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka is basically the championship match.
Right.
And whoever wins that is going to defeat cleanly whoever wins the right side of the bracket. And then they're going to say, but wait, you got to face. And Sasha and Naomi music pops up. Because the finals should be Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka for everything that you just said. Mm-hmm. You previewed it already.
Yeah.
At Clash of the Castle, it's going to be, I'm going to call a group control. Bayley, Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus Alexa Bliss, Asuka and Bianca Belair.
Mm-hmm.
They're already wrestling against each other.
Yeah.
So you're going to make this a single a semifinals match?
Right.
No.
So now, thank you for, you know, the precursor, because my guarantee for this week is Sky and Kai win this and they don't get the belts, they get their ass beat by Sasha Banks and Naomi. Because I'm expecting, if nothing else, a one-off to be done by Sasha Banks, even if she really is done, because her and Bayley are still cool. They are the horsewomen now. I don't know where Becky stands in it, but Bayley and Sasha, we know the vibes. We know the business. And nothing would be cooler, I think, for just the ultimate callback than for Io and Dakota to face Naomi and Sasha Banks. Hey, beat them for the titles and let that be that. Because it'd be like, look, you know what? I'll drop the titles to them because at least we have in a match, and at least we have in a match that y'all care about with two women that are more than worthy of being in this position with us. And I think that because that hammers home the original point, right?
Yeah.
They didn't leave because, quote, we not getting our way. And it wasn't this whole, like, prima donna, diva-esque type of energy that they were trying to say, you know, call them selfish, call them spoiled, blah, 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 blah. Like, all that was BS. What was real is that, no, we want to be on TV defending our titles against women that are real teams that really want to do this. And now they got it. And they've put something together that they wanted. Like, that's what they really wanted. There was no Ultimate Warrior, I need more money, or I ain't going out there and hold outs. It ain't no, I should be the main event. It wasn't none of that. It was like, yo, give us real competition. We're the women's tag team champions. We want to defend these against other real tag teams. So I think the perfect climax to this entire tournament is undoubtedly Io and Dakota versus Sasha and Naomi, with Bayley on the outside. Two friends, two lifelong friends, doing themselves a solid. Four women that can really get busy in the ring and make the tag team championships mean something moving forward, no matter who has them.
Yeah, we'll see what happened, though.
Yeah.
I hope that happens, because I don't want to see a finals that has – I don't want to see a final match that does not see Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus Asuka and Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
No. Literally, the only
women that have done promo for the entire tournament.
Basically. Well, before the match we're about to talk about, they did have Zoe and Nikita, you know, tell the people who they are
and why
they should know them. But that's about it now. And the other thing is, even with the toxic attraction part, I only see two finals in this. This is with or without the surprise of Sasha and Naomi. I only see two championship matches. I see Asuka and Alexa Bliss versus Toxic Attraction. I see Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Those are the only two championship final matches I see. Right. So we will see what happened with that, which leads us to my favorite match of the year.
Okay.
In person or not. Happened on Friday. It should have been on SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It should have been the Friday after SummerSlam. But it wasn't. And you know what? I'm okay. Because Gunther versus Shinsuke Nakamura happened.
Finally happened.
This ain't two meaty men bumping meat. But these are two ring generals. Two men who are just going to bump meat. Pause.
Yikes.
Two men that are going to beat the hell out of each other. And boy, did Gunther and Shinsuke Nakamura beat the shit out of each other on free TV on SmackDown, with Gunther defeating Shinsuke Nakamura and regaining the Intercontinental Championship. Man.
Amen. Amen. Another thing I want to point out, salute to, I'm just going to credit Triple H for everything that we've seen since SummerSlam. So salute to Triple H for doing what the first Black Champ podcast said months ago, when we realized Roman Reigns would not be seen every single week, by making both the United States and the Intercontinental Championship the main attraction for both shows. The vignettes, the extra promo, the extra attention. One, it's warranted. It's needed to let people know that, hey, there are two more belts that exist that you should come out to see. And I think even the feel of everything that's going on is just becoming greater. Like, to have Shinsuke and Gunther close out SmackDown for the Intercontinental Championship and giving us black and gold NXT vibes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is, Triple H has so far created a great combination of everything that Vince killed, along with working with the shit that Vince just knew worked.
Now, I'm glad that you said that. Because don't know if it's true or not. It's the internet, it's wrestling internet and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was a report that came out yesterday that Gunther was headed to be buried after his appearance on Raw last month. This comes from WrestleVotes, who said that following his July 4th appearance on Raw, those of power at the time really soured on Gunther for whatever reason, to the point where burial on TV was coming. And look what happened to on Friday. So I'm going to again thank Triple H.
Yeah.
Here's why I'm going to thank Triple H. I don't think that quote is far off because history dictates that that's what happens.
Yeah.
Vladimir Kozlov is the first thing that came to mind.
Wow, yeah.
Shit. When I saw this. Because Vladimir Kozlov was pushed to be a monster here. Like, this was... Vladimir Kozlov was supposed to kill you, monster heel.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he became a comedic person. Mm. You put him with Santino Marella.
Yeah, man.
And it was like he went from trying to kill you to being a joke.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that that quote right there is not true because of Vladimir Kozlov.
Wow.
And I am so glad that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because that match with him and Shinsuke was amazing. I can't wait for the rematch at Clash of the Castle. Because, hey, Walter going home with the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, it's going up.
And that's not necessarily home, but just going to Europe with it.
Yeah. That's the crib for him.
It's going to be lit. Mm-hmm. And people loving Shinsuke everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on the limb and say that if that match is made for Clash at the Castle, that's match of the night.
Yeah, sure. That's for them, especially since they said they haven't done a stadium in 30 years. So that's Brett Bulldog.
Yeah, that's SummerSlam 91.
Yeah. So and this is shit. This is their Brett Bulldog right now. That is it's going up.
Yeah, man. It's to me, that's the match that signifies the Triple H era so far.
Okay.
To me.
I'm saying that, and I'm cool with that. That's all I was going to say.
Because here's why. Gunther is still relatively new to the TV audience.
Mm-hmm.
Shinsuke Nakamura, according to a lot of people, has been put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really messing with him. Right. You know, he should have been a multiple-time world champion right now.
Yeah.
And all of those things. And he won the Royal Rumble. He had the match with AJ Styles. They turned him heel for no reason instead of giving him the belt. And yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
He signifies to me what people believe that Vince McMahon missed. Gunther reminds me of what a Vladimir Kozlov could have been. And the man is a wrestler. He's a ring general. It's not like you're getting somebody that just knows 4 or 5 moves.
Right.
Gunther is going to give you the match of your life. This man was given and held the NXT UK Championship for forever. Lost the weight. Remember, he was looking like me. He lost weight. My man got abs. Mm-hmm. He's reportedly married. Did all of that, was like, I'm coming to America now. When he said, when he signed with UK, with NXT UK, he was like, I can just wrestle for him straight. I ain't got to go over to America. I don't want to go through all of that stuff.
Right.
My man changed all of that. And y'all was about to bury Buddy, reportedly.
Mm.
No, this match signifies what the Triple H era is about, giving chances, giving time. It makes me even more interested in what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, I wanted to see a long intercontinental title reign from Gunther.
Yeah.
I don't mind if him and Shinsuke Nakamura go back and forth.
Yeah. Okay.
Because this match gonna smack. Just watch Ronda. And it's, you gonna see that this match gonna smack every time they wrestle. I also believe that that match showed that it's a different atmosphere. Gunther versus Shinsuke Nakamura showed me that wrestlers backstage are like, are really, really like, yo, this is the Triple H era, and we gonna show out. Because for all of the faults that I believe that AEW has, they go to show out every night. Watch last NXT, AEW. But watch last episode of AEW Dynamite. It's like they watched Raw, SummerSlam, and SmackDown the first week of Triple H era and was like, nah, they ain't about to outdo us.
See.
Chris Jericho versus John Moxley. Normally, I would shit on the John Moxley match.
Right.
I'm not on this one.
Okay.
I was like, okay, this is Lionheart Chris Jericho, huh? Right. I bet. That whole night smacked. I thought I was not going to be a fan of Brody King versus Darby Allin. That match smacked. I'm still saying that Sting need to sit his ass down, but it didn't mess up the match for me. That whole night smacked. And I think that's a byproduct of, hey man, Triple H getting cats to wrestle. We got to get on our wrestling shit. Let's make it happen. And I am excited for Daniel Garcia versus Bryan Danielson too. I'm excited about that. So I go on to say that it's clear that Triple H is pushing people to a different level, and people want to be at that different level to make sure that Trips is straight.
Yeah.
And it's going to make everybody else, everywhere else, step up.
Yeah, hey, you're absolutely right. We are back to the culture of, hey, everybody wants to go to the WWE, and they're not ashamed to say that. Because, look, here's the thing. The one thing that can't go unnoticed is that the best time period of actual pro wrestling, right? Because everybody wants to separate between sports and entertainment. But the best current era of pro wrestling was created by Paul Triple H Levesque.
Yeah.
And that was Black and Gold NXT from 2015 to 2018. Pro wrestling got no better than that. And now all of his kids are everywhere, kicking everybody ass. And because, hey, daddy is back with a brand new position. Now, I do wonder, and I even want to ask this question to you. Do you think that with what Triple H has already been able to do right now, do you think your people like Bruce Pritchard specifically needs to go ahead, step to the side. So the team that Triple H really wants in creative can go and get their thing off? Or do you think that this will be a very positive marriage and people will just be like, okay, look, Triple H is in charge now. We roll him with what he say. What do you think is going to happen with that? Do you think new regime altogether? Or is Triple H right now, presently, with what we've just seen in like 2.5-3 weeks, is that enough?
It's enough for me.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, when it became enough. Shockingly, it was when Ronda Rousey came out. Because when I'm music hit, I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Uh-huh. And when she dropped the money on the table, said, pay your little fine right here. Now go. And if you look at her Instagram post, Ronda Rousey Instagram post with that photo says, use that cash wisely, WWE. Maybe it can help with those budget cuts. Bring some asses back to me to kick.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, because this ain't really a flowers episode, but again, shout to Ronda Rousey, man, because since SummerSlam, I'm going to say this. She has not only elevated her talent, but she is also in the process of getting this SmackDown Women's Championship match over without even being in it. Mm-hmm. Because people still kind of feel a way about Liv, but she beat Liv ass. She's totally embraced this being a heel thing, got a mixed reaction, and now she's about to turn Shayna Baszler up with just saying, hey, you used to be a killer. That's to the equivalent, you know, white people telling you that, like, you used to be a killer on the mat. That's like being on there, like, you used to be the man. You know what I'm saying? They used to fear you. You ain't no shit now. You know what I'm saying? So what you about to do? You don't even really want the belt. You wanna play by the rules. Like, yo, she basically told Shayna Baszler, you ain't got it no more.
Basically.
So now she got to prove something.
And you ain't nothing but Ronda Rousey 2.0.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And the only misstep I think Shayna Baszler made was not throwing up the spade after she put Liv down. But of course, I thought the promo was over then, but it wasn't. She ended up going through a table. And I don't think that's the ending that should have happened with that. But I'll say Liv cut the promo this week that she should have cut last week.
Yeah.
And that was my problem. You know what I'm saying?
It's just those small things. Gunther versus Shinsuke. Ronda Rousey coming out and having a promo that she has. Liv Morgan actually having a promo that she did. You know, the Hit Row coming back. Karrion Kross actually convincing me this week that he is a potential top heel, even though they have him reportedly marked down as the second biggest heel in the company behind Roman Reigns.
Great, you know, promo, too, on the comeback, too.
Yes, it was.
That was that he literally summed up everything that happened since his debut.
Mm-hmm.
In like 45 seconds. That was a hard promo, man.
Yeah, so I just think it's just a feeling to me that wrestlers are like Triple H's WWE is here and probably more likely than not, we need to make sure we show up for him.
Yeah.
Because we know he going to show up for us. Is there going to be some missteps? Yes, there's going to be some missteps.
Yeah.
Are we going to like every decision Triple H made? No, because I don't like currently constructed how this tag team title, this women's tag team title match is looking. Huh. I don't like it. I need it to be evened out, even if, you know, they try to hit us with the main boss role.
Yeah.
Where Naomi and Sasha Banks comes back and like, yeah, nah, y'all got to fight us. And y'all got to fight us the same night. Matter of fact, y'all got to fight us now. Ding, ding, ding. And then they end up losing. Like, yeah. No matter if it's Dakota Kai and Io Sky or Asuka and Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. I still feel like that should be the final boss type of situation and how that goes. With that being said, though, the majority of what I'm seeing, man, I'm in love with this right here, and I think that it's making people step their games up.
Yeah.
And we're going to see pretty soon how the cookie crumbles when it comes to who is elevating themselves, who's not elevating themselves.
Yeah, man.
Because I'll say this, and then we could close out. I'll say this. If I'm Seth Rollins and Karrion Kross is listed as the number two heel on SmackDown and he just got back, I know I'm on Raw. But still, it makes me look at that and be like, yo, he coming out the gate swinging.
Mm-hmm.
I need to step it up because I know who just stepped it up. Kevin Owens doing what I expected to happen, beating the shit out of Ezekiel. So now we're going to wait till the hair grows out all the way. So now Elias will be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, I always want to look at these, like, charts and stats and things of that nature. Because what I'm going to do, even though Seth Rollins may not be listed as, you know, top two heels or whatever, Seth Rollins was in the process of putting the Street Profits over individually the last 2 weeks.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. You know, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. he was in the process of doing that. Like, again, man, for all you five-star match MFs out there, man, what I want y'all to do is look at Seth Rollins' entire 2022. We are 8 months in of this man winning maybe 3 matches the entire year. But yet, there isn't a person that has not left in a better situation after getting out of the ring with him. Everybody. Roman Reigns had a different character layer after the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes had a successful comeback even with injury.
Uh-huh.
Now we have the Street Profits. Somebody else I'm missing in this piece. I forgot May to June. I don't know. It was technically Cody still, but...
Yeah.
But the point I'm making here is that Seth Rollins is doing the job that CM Punk thought he was doing when he first came back to AEW. Mm. And this is how you do it. Everybody is already listed as a superstar because you're with the company. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like, you know, when they're doing the classic, oh, you in the fifth row. You want to come face me? Well, come in and you do a good job. Right. And about me?
Like trying to Santino Marella you.
Yeah, he's talking to me. Okay. And then you come and get a miraculous showing. It's like, nah, you already in the company. Like, we know you get a paycheck too. So it's like, what Seth Rollins is doing is like, nah, hey, we got the greatest talent. Like, and he's been adamant about that since Kenny Omega been trying to get that match with him. He's like, dude, you come over here and we can do whatever you want. I'm not doing that other shit. He's like, because the best talent is here, the best wrestling is here, the best matches are here. So I'm not going anywhere else you are to do that.
You come here, you come to the big stage.
Exactly. And Seth Rollins is proving that. You know what I'm saying? He's like, again, just pay attention to his 2022. It's really reminiscent of what AJ Styles did on the 371 title reign, but he's doing it without a damn belt, dog. He's doing it without a belt. He's doing it without a main event tag. He's doing it without being on every poster. Like, pay attention, because this is really what it is. To me, honestly, Seth Rollins should be in rare air. He shouldn't be on your list. Just like Jay-Z ain't on nobody's top 5 or top 10 rapper list no more, Seth Rollins don't need to be on your fucking list. Fuck your list, son. Fuck your list. Because I'm Seth fucking Rollins. And I don't need your fucking list. You add fucking Madcap Moss to your list, bitch. I'm out.
Hey, man, shout out to Madcap Moss coming out there to help Drew McIntyre too.
Word, you know what I'm saying? Real shit. That was dope.
Yeah, So yeah, man, I mean, that's pretty much it, man, we got for you today, man. We just going to continue to watch this Triple H joint go and see how it goes. It's definitely brought a breath of fresh air back to the squared circle. It is, yeah, I mean, I still think pro wrestling, sports entertainment, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that it is bringing the pro wrestling part of sports entertainment to the forefront. Shouts out to Bobby Lashley and Tommaso Ciampa having an amazing match.
Yes.
You know, too, for the mid-card title.
Yo.
Same thing with the Intercontinental Championship. I will admit I am a bit disappointed that Ciampa did not take home the belt. But I'm disappointed for the reasons that I've already stated to y'all. And I believe that Bobby Lashley even proved even more.
Yeah.
He don't need that title, fam.
Nah. Nah. But, man, shout to Ciampa, man. Again, yeah, having a match like that with Bobby Lashley, he doesn't lose even if he don't win. And that, I think, put everybody on notice that maybe didn't know. Because, you know, they've tried bringing Ciampa up to the main roster technically 3 different times.
Yeah.
The first time was against The Miz. And then the second time was just randomly. The first time was the Survivor Series promo. And then it was The Miz. And now it's this.
Yeah, you had him and Johnny wrestling a tag team match.
Yeah.
You're right.
So man, I love the fact that, yo, man, a lot. This was a great week for wrestling. I know people may not look at it like that right now because we expect a certain quality, but it was a really great week for wrestling, man. Straight up.
Yeah. So, any more guarantees from you?
Anything else would be cliche. Anything else is like, yo, more people coming back. We got more appearances. We got more matches on the way. But I see. I'll just go back to my original guarantee for this week is that I see Sasha doing Bayley and her squad a solid by coming back with Naomi to face EO and Dakota for the Women's Tag Team Champions. It's almost going to be like the whole Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels thing. Yo, I'm the real Intercontinental Championship. And I'm here for that because that's a greater climax to this whole tournament. And that would also restore faith that, hey, we really going to have real teams battling for these belts. And that's what everybody involved originally wanted.
Yeah, and to add on to, you know, what you just said, don't forget when John Cena defeated Rey Mysterio for the World Championship, the WWE World Championship, and then Cult of Personality popped on. And then CM Punk popped out with his belt and they was like, oh shit, he's back. And John Cena's the champ. So who's the champ?
Right.
And it led to a nice match. So I wouldn't even have to see an immediate match. Yeah. I could see what we just explained right there where it's like, damn, so we got 2 champions up in. So what does that mean? And the other thing is I can see that happening because if we not noticed this for the last couple of weeks, Triple H is back on his cliffhanger shit.
Yeah.
So we're not no longer seeing like some dead ass, you know, ending to a match. We're seeing stare downs afterwards. Yeah. We're seeing, you know, what happened, what could possibly happen type shit too. This is not over. This is not over by a long shot. We're seeing a number of things that can make us believe that the storyline for some people ain't over.
Yeah.
All right, man. Shouts out to you, man, for bearing this episode, fam. I know you've been under the weather. You out here with the regular shit, but the regular shit jumping you down. So shouts out to you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? We like doing the show. We love giving you all the content. And I mean, shit, I had cold end up in the hospital, so I can handle some fucking weak-ass cold, you know what I'm saying, for at least an episode. You know what I mean?
Same.
Right.
Well, not necessarily hospital for me, but, you know, y'all been on the show with me. Yeah, y'all been on the show with me. Y'all know what the lid is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, man, hey, yo, as always, man, thank y'all for tuning in to this week's show and every week's show. As you can see, we enjoy bringing this to you no matter what's happening in our own lives. As long as we can get live mic and some airtime, we got you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So continue with the likes, comments, shares, tags, questions, and all of that. I'm sorry I ain't been seeing it lately, but Bang is holding it down, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I will return soon, at least as the first Black Champ account eventually, man. But hey.
I mean, shouts out to the group also in general, too. The group has been holding us down as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So thank you all for doing that. But hey, you know what? What I will never do is let this shit go hanging right here, right here. So listen, whenever you want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Camp. Bang. We are out.
I got to do that again. Like, boom.
Oh, yeah, boom. Yeah, you got it.
Boom.
Yeah, you got to get it.
Boom. Got to get it out.